From Birmingham, I'm Miranda Fulmore. 50 years ago in Jackson, Mississippi, Farish Street was home to a thriving Black-owned business sector. Restaurants, stores, and doctor's offices stretched across the nine blocks. But after segregation ended in the 60s, nearly all of those shops shuttered and physically crumbled. Stephen Basaha and Shalina Chetlani of the Gulf States Newsroom report that some business leaders have stayed while others are investing to bring life back to this historic area.
Oh, that smell.
Yeah, that smells really good.
It smells like bacon. I love it.
It's not bacon, but smoked sausage burgers and pig ears sizzling on the stove. It's lunch hour, and scores of customers shuffle into the Big Apple Inn.
Including us.
In the back, owner Gino Lee is doing the prep work. He takes out a big floppy pig ear and cuts it in half. Normally, they'd boil these for days to make them edible.
Now we pressure cook them, and when you pressure cook a pig ear, it only takes a half an hour. And this is what it looks like when it's finished.
Ooh, they look like pig ears.
Yeah, imagine that.
Big Apple Inn has been a staple in this Black-owned business district since the 1930s. It became the spot where people organized during the Civil Rights Movement, and where everyone, from low-wage workers to lawyers of color, could gather for a hearty, affordable meal.
And we're still going strong with the same five items on our menu that we started off with 83 years ago.
In the 50s and 60s, Big Apple Inn was surrounded by furniture stores, live music venues, and a movie theater. Lee said that changed when segregation ended.
Integration was great for the Black race. You know, we were able to shop, but it was terrible for the Black businessman. When we were allowed to go to the white establishments to eat and trade, we stopped going to our own.
Lee says businesses had to leave the street because their customers went to white establishments. That happened to a lot of Black-owned business districts, but the Big Apple Inn wanted to stay.
Yeah, we're a niche market and no competition. Could we make more money in the suburbs? Yeah. There's no question. This is not just a street, it's a historic district.
A historic district.
Yeah, I've noticed that's how most people often talk about Fair Street.
Yeah, you know, it's like Fair Street is treated as a piece of history with its best days decades in the past.
But while Fair Street is far from its peak in the 60s, there's at least one person who's proven it's possible to start a new business here, one that's not just surviving, but thriving. John Thier opened Johnny T's Bistro and Blues down the street about 7 years ago as a restaurant in the day, a music venue at night, and a club on the weekends.
And I give you a secret. This building here, prior to me getting here, probably had the worst stigma in the city.
Thier says back in the day when he was a student at Jackson State University, he used to come to this club and it wasn't the safest area. But since he took over, the building's reputation and business has turned around.
And even during COVID, when people went out of business, every year our numbers are up.
Before opening, Thier spent 2 years fixing the building up and turning the downstairs into a bistro and the upstairs into the Renaissance Room.
In the 50s, this is where Sammy Davis Jr., Red Fox, and they actually played in this very space. It's a space that we utilize for fundraisers, comedy shows, and often let customers dance the night away on Fridays and Saturday nights.
Johnny T's is now one of the jewels of Fair Street, a place known for good food and a well-stocked bar.
Sometimes that's a shock too for someone that drives down Fair Street, and then they come inside, they say, oh. And then they find out that you have this wide range of spirits. I mean, we got bottles that cost $6,000, $5,000, $4,000.
Yeah, so Shalina, Thier says Johnny T's is proof that an entrepreneur can take one of Fair Street's buildings and turn it into a successful business.
Yeah, but that's not really easy to replicate. Remember, he said it costs a lot of money to make those old, neglected buildings business ready.
Yeah, and that's true. And a lot of people, they don't have the money to do that, and they're not up for taking that big risk.
But just down the street, there is a family that did exactly that.
I can tell you guys that I didn't think so on paper that it was going to make any sense.
Yasmin Gabrielle Collins and her family came here because they have a mission. They bought a building up the block in 2020, and Collins is clear. She's not trying to open another nightclub or fast food joint on Ferris Street. She's taking a risk and opening both a health food store and a vegan cafe. New concepts for the street. It's not greasy comfort food. It's beet burgers and anti-inflammatory tea.
A lot of people think about like vegan food or plant-based food and think about it being in like bougie, rich, predominantly white areas.
Absolutely, we're changing that narrative. That's so crazy you would say that. Our ancestors, you know, for a long time were in charge of their care when no one else would touch them when they were enslaved. We forgot that narrative.
Ferris Street is still relatively underdeveloped. On one side, there are still boarded up buildings and shattered windows. But Collins and her family decided to come here because they believe the community appreciates them, investing in the present and future of this street.
3 years later, 2 kids later, a whole other restaurant. We're expanding very, very quickly.
And now they're working on opening up a grocery store, something missing from Ferris Street.
For so long, many in the community have seen Ferris Street as this failed black-owned business district. But black business owners are working on telling another story of how this historical area is not just a relic of the past.
But Stephen, before we leave Ferris Street, there is one more thing we have to do.
For the Gulf States Newsroom.
I'm Shalina Chotlani.
And I'm Stephen Bisaha.